We've been talking about identity. Identity. Who are you? We talked about identity theft. Identity theft is the fraudulent acquisition and use of a person's private identifying information, usually for financial gain. We see that in a natural sense where people are trying to steal your identity and rob you, but there's also a spiritual thing going on as well. The devil is trying to rob you of who you are, and he has so many traps out there where we give away our identity, give away who we are, and we get robbed. It's the single fastest growing crime in America. In our nation, every 2 seconds, someone's identity is being stolen. $50 billion a year is being stolen. And it takes about 600 hours to restore that identity. And 25% of the people who lose their identity will be fighting to get it back the rest of their lives. And I believe there's a lot of spiritual implications there. Popularity. Popularity. Popularity is called popularity because it's going to pop at some point. Ask Ryan Lochte. My heart goes out to him because over some stupid thing that he did, he's lost 4 of his endorsements, $10 million in revenue because of one act of stupidity and then covering up with lying. I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, lying never works. It will never work. It will always come back to haunt you. I think about popularity getting busted because we sell our identity for one reason. We sell it for identity. We sell our identity for popularity. We want to be popular. We want to fit in. We want to blend in. And therefore, we sell out on who we are, our values, our morals, because we're trying to fit in someplace else. I think about, you know, we want to be somebody. I was looking at this video online. It's the Russian gold medalist in 2012 in the 3-meter springboard. He was the gold medalist. He comes to the 2016 Olympics. One of his dives, he actually hit his head on the board. But then this gold medalist in the final, in the semifinal rounds does this.
4 rounds of 6. Ilya Zakharov.
Oh,
what happened there? That was total disaster.
Total disaster
to the Olympic champion. I just can't believe this. 3.4 forward, 2.5 somersault, 2 twists. Nowhere near it.
His knees just gave way here. They just buckled and he tried so hard to get that dive in, but stood no chance at all.
That is going to be a blank. An
incomplete. That's going to be a blank. It was.
Irina stunned.
He ended up getting a 0. A 0. 0.00. He didn't even give him anything. Now, let me tell you what. If I would have done that dive, I think you all would have been impressed. If I was with my buddies, they go, hey, watch this. I did that. I go, whoa, dude, I didn't know you could do that. But being a gold medalist doesn't cut it, does it? No, not at all. All of a sudden, if his identity is in the fact that he's a gold medalist, he's not feeling too good right now. He's probably not feeling good anyway. But the idea is this. We try to get our identity in so many things. Everything will fade away. Everything will fade away. If it's in your looks, believe me, before you die, it's going to fade. It will be gone. You're going to be putting your teeth in a dish someday. I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be all wrinkly. It's going to look like, you know, the Palouse dirt out here. It's going to fade. God wants us to have our identity in Him, not in anything else. Dirt. The enemy is trying to get us to exchange our identity for something as worthless as dirt, and many of us are buying into it. We don't understand that this is not what God intended us to be, but we're selling it out to all of the pressures that are out there. We sell out our identity. And let me say this to students in particular, but it's to all of us. Students coming here are going to be under pressure to be and conform to a behavior and identity to blend in and be accepted. It's a lure of all of us because we want to be accepted. No one wants to be the outcast, but we want to fit in and be relationally accepted. It's a temptation to us all. But if we jump into that, we're going to find out we're going to be left wanting in the end and finding out that what we purchased with selling out our identity was a bag of dirt that is absolutely worthless. Would you mind, I also want to say this at this point, that if you ever want to pick up any of our messages, if you want to have your parents look at any of the messages that we're doing, you can always get them at livingfaithfellowship.com. They're always about 2 or 3 days afterwards. The current message will be on, but we'd appreciate if you'd come. You can also download our app, Living Faith. If you search Living Faith in the app, Pullman, it'll come up. It'll have our logo, arches with a cross on it, and you can get any of the stuff that we're doing, all of our messages, all of our stuff right there on your phone. Would you mind standing with me as we go through the scriptures this morning that we're going to talk about in our discussion about identity? Who are you? Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Next scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You may be seated. Beware. The enemy is trying to steal your God given identity. The enemy is trying to, and it says it right here in this scripture. Beware lest anyone. Well, but he's my friend. I just met him. He's a good looking boyfriend up there. Man, she's a hot maid. Oh, this is a great party. That's okay. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Philosophy comes from two Greek words, philo, which means friend or beloved, and sophia, which means wisdom. It's a person who's fond of wisdom, fond of wise things, wise saying, wise ideas, wise stuff. It's things, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Unless those wise things are only wise in the world, but not in the kingdom of God. Or if we're only wise in our own eyes, and sometimes that's where we are. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, through wise things, through words, through thoughts, through ideas, through talking, and empty deceit. Deceit means to deceive. Deception is something that comes after us where we think it's true and we think it's right and we're involved in it, but it's actually not right. But the whole idea of deception is I'm in it and I think I am right, but you're not right. And you need someone else to tell you in that case, because it's pretty hard to discern that by yourself. The word beware here is blepo. Everybody say blepo. So all of a sudden, next time when some danger is coming, say blepo, for there are rocks to the right. No, I don't know. Blepo. It means this: to look at. To open up your eyes, to see what's happening, not to close it. It seems like a lot of times in life we close our eyes when danger happens. We close our eyes when it's a tough situation. We close our eyes and he's saying, no, don't close your eyes to the stuff out there. Don't close your eyes to the issue. Don't close your eyes to what's going on out there. Look, take a good look. Take a deep look. Take a real look in light of the Holy Spirit, in light of the presence of God. Take a look at what's happening in your life. Beware. Look. Because there will be a philosophy out there that will try to get you to take away and to throw away your identity. It will try to cheat you. It will happen. It was happening in Paul's day, and it is happening ever more present today in our society. A philosophy to try to get you to turn away. Teachers teaching wise things that talk not about Christ, but away from him, to point us away from Christ. It's a wonder that out of the Christians who come to college here, that about 60 to 70% of them will no longer walk with the Lord for a number of years after they come to college because of the philosophy that they will ingest. My encouragement is this: make sure that you ingest this so that everything that you learn out there in life, wherever you are, is passed through the filter of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that you're standing and you're not getting cheated. You're not getting cheated. There is a devil who wants to cheat you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He's after. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. How many people here have cell phones? Or I should say this way. Who doesn't have a cell phone? Is anybody who doesn't have a cell phone? A few folks back there. Mrs. McManus, well, you have 12 children. I don't know how you keep track of all the 12 of them without a cell phone. Cell phone. We all have these, right? Everybody has. How many of you have them with them right now? How many are actually on them right now? A few. Okay, honest folks. How many are texting going, this is boring. I don't like this. I wish I was out of here. Our cell phones. Cell phones. Cell phones. Who really likes their cell phone? Who's a real good cell phone? We have a new person here. It's a real good cell phone user. Are you new? Is this your first time here? Oh, go stand up. What's your name?
Betsy.
Betsy. All right, Betsy. Do you like using your cell phone?
I love my cell phone.
You love it? Can I have it?
No.
Oh, okay. So I can't have your cell phone. Do you look at it a lot?
Yeah.
Have you looked at it today at all?
Yeah.
Many times?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've looked at it many times. Have you looked at it since you've been at church?
Yes.
Yes. Were you looking at it when I was talking?
Yes.
Yes. These are important. Come on up here. Come on up here. Do we have anybody older? Anybody older that's new? Anybody that's somewhat new here or whatever, older, has a cell phone? Nobody wants this. They don't want to be under this ridicule. Yes, only college kids can do this. Okay. Now, older people probably don't look at it as much. Well, I don't know. Actually, the statistics are now that they're looking at it more and more and more and more. But you look at this all the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever been looking at this and so into it? Have you ever like been up on campus walking away someplace and then go on your phone? Do you look at your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want you to watch this video up here. Just before you start that, just a second. Hold before you start that. Can you restart it or no? Can you restart it or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me say this before we start. Betsy, she's texting now. Mom, I don't like this church. I'm saying, watch this video. Okay, I'm watching the video. Got it, I can multitask. I know you're a woman and you're much better at this than guys are at multitasking. Do you realize that 27% of car accidents happen while people are on their cell phone? 1.5 million accidents happen on cell phones, they're cell phone related. One quarter of all the accidents out there because someone was on their cell phone. Now, I'm not saying that you probably don't drive. Never mind, I'm not gonna ask you that question. I'm not gonna ask you that question. But because people are looking at their cell phones, and now it's not just a driving issue, it's a walking issue. Look at this. It's really important. Oh, whoops. I hope you had the S7 because she walks right into the kiddie area. Now that's embarrassing. It's just plain embarrassing. Not only, now we decide to take it to the streets. It's okay, I made it. Whoop. Oh. Subway. Yep. That could kill you. And the curve. Yep. He hit the car. And he's mad at the driver. Oh, she passed by safely. Oops, she got it. That's a train! It usually has noise associated with it. So, Betsy, don't do that, all right? You won't do that? All right. Thank you for being a good sport. Hey, we have some candy for her? We have some to pick for? Oh, where's Catherine? Afterwards, Catherine's on her cell phone right now. Afterwards, see me. I got a bunch of goodies for you, okay? I'm sorry I didn't bring them up this morning, but I'll get them for you. Are you good? Give her a hand. Bet you're a good sport. You know, the enemy has given all of us one of these suckers. I'm not talking about naturally. I'm talking about spiritually. So many things that we're on, we're looking at, we're going after, and we're not walking. We're not watching where we're walking. We're not looking at where we're going, and therefore we're being cheated. And you know what happens in some cases? You're going to get cheated out of your life. Some of those folks got cheated out of their life. I didn't show you those. Who ended up dying because they were walking along, got hit by a car, and all of a sudden what was on here, what they were looking at here, was more important than life itself because they forfeited it for life. Now, they didn't think that going into it. Neither do we when we go to that party or do this thing or say yes to this or whatever, where we sell out our identity because we're looking at something else. We're looking at something else, and the enemy has it all nice and glittery. You know, I know some ladies like my wife, she's got little glittery things around her phone and little phone protectors and changes them in different colors and all of the little frou-frou and things flying off and feathers here and there. I'm going, it's because she has a bag she can put it in, but I just have to put it in this pocket, and it would look a little funny if I had a little feather hanging out right here. Can you imagine guys with all these little diamonds around here, little fake diamonds around here, and you getting your phone out and guys looking at you? You'd be the talk of the water cooler, that's for sure. We're looking at what the enemy's putting in front of us. Not our phones necessarily, but we're looking at spiritually what the enemy is putting in front of us, because he's trying to get us sidetracked. He's trying to get us not to look. Don't look, because if you don't look, I can cheat you. You see, if you're looking the other way, I can cheat you in cards. I can cheat you in a game. I can cheat you in money coming back to you. I can cheat you in all sorts of things. If you're distracted, I can cheat you. It's exactly what the enemy's doing. He's cheating you. Because he has you distracted by things that are really cool. Heck, these phones are cool. You can do so much on them. Hey, the things that the enemy dances in front of you to try to steal your identity, it's cool. It looks neat. It seems fun right now. But it destroys our life. It destroys our life. We have a smartphone, but sometimes we have a dumb self. We have a smart gospel that warns us. But sometimes we don't take the heed. We don't take the warning. Beware means to be careful, to act in a way that shows you know that there may be danger or trouble. Do you know there may be danger or trouble? When asked to go to that party, do you know that there may be danger or trouble here? When asked to do certain things, do you know there may be danger or trouble here? When you're asked to do something on your job you shouldn't be doing, do you know there may be danger or trouble here? Or if you're taking advantage of things, do you know there might be danger or trouble here? Are we aware? To be on one's guard is what it means to be aware. The word cheat means to lead away as booty, but it means to seduce. To seduce. Seduce means to lead astray, usually by persuasion or false promises. The enemy is full of false promises. But it will show you how much you love me and how much I love you. I promise to love you. If you will, whenever you put an if in there, you just crossed off the definition of love, because there's no if in love. If you, no, love is a one-way street. I love you, period. That's what the word means. He's here to steal from us, to cheat us, to seduce us, to lead us astray. It means attract someone to a belief or into a course of action that is inadvisable or foolhardy. And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We get seduced into actions that steal our identity. We get talked into it because we are not looking out. We're looking at the wrong things. We're looking at the trappings. We're looking at all the other peripherals rather than what the Word of God says. Or else we're looking at our friends. Peer pressure. No one chugs a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey in 15 seconds by themselves. But when 50 people are there yelling, chug-a-lug, 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 all of a sudden the popularity and approval and I'll be somebody big, we open up the bottle and we chug it down and they died. I read the article a number of years ago. Person at a frat did it, died. Died. Why? Because everybody thought it would be cool. We do stupid things. We do stupid stuff because of the pressure, because of the pressure, because of the pressure that's out there, and because of the desire, God-given desire, that we want to belong and fit in and be loved and accepted. God understands that, and that's why he says, I love you and accept you unconditionally, totally, regardless of what you've done, what you've said. I love you unconditionally. Continuing on in the scripture here, they'll let them cheat you through philosophy, through their talk, through their idea of wanting to be wise. Hey, we're wise, and you need to listen to us because we're wise. This is what's wise. According to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, Paul realized they're going to talk out of their traditions of men, out of the principles of the world, according to the mindset and values of this world, not, the scripture says, according to Christ. Ask yourself in any situation when something's going on, what would Jesus Christ say about this? I know what you say, but what would Christ say? What does the Word of God say? I know that you say I'll get approval here, but what does the Bible say about that party, about that issue, about that person, about all of this? What does God say about how I'm supposed to work? What does God say in all of these situations? We'll sell out for quick approval. Because we're listening to the principles of the world. When we're seduced into values and morals and principles that are not according to Christ, they will not be good for you. They'll not be good for you. Ask Ryan Lochte. It wasn't good for him. Didn't turn out well. You know, that could affect his whole life. I feel for him. I'm not trying to pick on him at all. I feel like, wow, it's a stupid moment. Look what happens. They will rob you of your worth. They will rob you of your dignity. They will rob you of your identity. And Paul tells us, beware. Let me say this. It is going to happen. It is out there. Everywhere you turn, it is there. The philosophy is there. It's been shouted out. It's there. And it will cheat you. Beware. It's there. Walk through it with your eyes open, looking, with this to guide you. I'm aware. Don't be cheated out of what God has for you by the devil. He's a cheater. He's a liar. Cheater. When we say, well, cheaters never win. He's fine with that. He doesn't care to win. He just wants you to lose. He don't want to win. He just wants you to lose. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job description. Hi, I've come to kill, steal, and destroy you. That's what I do. The way I do that, I don't come at you and go, hi, I'm here to kill, steal, and destroy you. Would you like to enter into what I have? Well, no. But if he comes here to say, hey, I'm here to make you popular and famous and wise and wonderful and awesome and great, would you like that? Yeah. And then we walk right down his path. He's really smart in how he seduces and deceives us, and he knows what our buttons are. The world, there are two direct contrasting things here. There's the philosophy and thinking of the world, and there's the thinking in Word of God. And they're in direct opposition to each other. The world philosophy guides, in Christianity, the Word of God guides. One is going to seduce you and use you. One is going to honor you, and help you. The devil's trying to steal your identity. Don't let anyone steal your identity. In Christ, be smart and don't hand it over to a slick-talking guy, a beautiful-looking woman, a smart professor. Don't change identity for a fun party or to fit in with the gang or to be popular or to be wealthy or to be famous or dot, dot, dot. I thought it really funny of the Lord because this morning, when I got up this morning, I'm talking about identity, and when I got up this morning, first, the thing on my deal this morning was this. I got an alert from Protect My ID. I got it this morning. It said, Phil Vance, Protect My ID has detected signs that your identity could be at risk. As soon as possible, please log in to your protection center to review your surveillance alert. Let me tell you this. We need to check in with God every morning and review our surveillance alert. Every morning, Lord, why do we get in the Word? Why do we have devotions? Because we can look at our surveillance alert. Hey, how am I doing? What's going on? I know, here's what I've been thinking. Am I going down the right road or not? And all of a sudden, whoop, 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 whoop. Warning, warning, warning. No, wrong way. Turn around, go back. Identity is being threatened. Identity could be stolen. Make sure you're in this, because this is our alert service from God. Don't let it get stolen. Don't let it get stolen. Don't let it get stolen. As I said, the enemy's really smart. He'll steal away stuff with good things. He wants to exploit you. And every time he exploits you, he doesn't exploit you necessarily with bad. He will exploit you with good. Let's go back to Eve. It's exactly what he did with Eve. The devil made her discontent with her identity and made her cover a different identity. I want to be wiser. I want to be smarter. He seduced her and exploited her. He used the philosophy of the day because there was wisdom here. Look at the scripture in Genesis 3:6. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good, these are the tricks of the devil since day one. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? That it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one, remember, philosophy is about, we're fond of wisdom. Make one wise. Those are all good things. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate also. Good and pleasant, and will make you wise. It's all good. Here's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She didn't go, I want the bad stuff. What's the icky evil stuff? I want the, no. This is all good. There was good in that tree too. The issue wasn't that it was good or bad, that it was bad to go there. The issue was, God said, don't. Was it good? Yeah. Oh, it's good. Oh my gosh, it's all good. The devil's going, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, it was all good. But it wasn't good for her then. I get so many things today. It's all good, this, and this. It's all good. Yeah, but you know, God also has timing. Sex is great. It's really good. But then he gives us a time and a commitment thing in it. See, the enemy exploits what's good. He exploits good. Not always is the item the enemy uses for exploitation bad. Eve went after the good part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the issue is this. All of that was good. But the issue is she traded good for not obeying God. She said, when God says, no, now, now's not the time. She said, yes, it is. The time is now. Because it will make me wise. It's good. It's pleasant. I want that. She didn't get tempted with evil and wicked and vile things. They were all good. Here's my observation. When good is contrasted with bad, it looks great. When good is contrasted with bad, it looks great. But when good is contrasted with better or with best, good doesn't look so good. I think after she partook and thought it was good, it was wonderful. Hey, there's the bad stuff. Don't want that. I want the good stuff and all that. I think when the Lord asked, where are you? And they stood before the Lord and realized she had disobeyed. Good didn't look so good anymore. Good looked awful. Good looked awful. Eve was looking at the good and forgetting the best, which is obedience to God that God had for her. Let me tell you this, that God has best for you. He has best for you. And we settle for good. And God says no to good and yes to best. It's an obedience issue. He's saying no to that right now. No, 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 no. I have something for you further on. I have something for you later. No, you got to say no to that. No to this issue. No, you can't have that now. No, you can't have this wealth now. No, no, you got a plan. You go, no, 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 no. He's got great stuff for us. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the devil wants to steal your identity, but Christ wants to give you an identity. A new one. A new one. A new identity. I want to play a song and see. I want to know. This song was written in 1979, so nobody over on this section was even born. Okay? So some of you out here weren't even born. I'm going to play this song, and you tell me when you can recognize what the song is. Raise your hand. I just want to see how fast you can get it. It's back in 1979. Can you play a song? Oh. All the rockers out there know what it is. Can you be over here? Oh, we have a few. Oh, oh, oh! Oh, oh! Yeah! Tell me when you get it. You get it. Predict when you get it. I really want to know, who are you? Who are you? How many over here knew it? You, I know you knew it. Anybody else over here knew it? If you knew it, did you know it when it first started? Did you know it when it first started? Oh, you knew it. Yes, yes. As you can tell, the rockers out there in the group. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And let me say this. You better have the answer to that question when you go out there, or you'll get lost fast. Because to know who you are is to make decisions to navigate out there. Because if you don't know who you are, you're going to go with the flow. You're going to move down the stream, and it's going to take you wherever the stream takes you. You've got to know who you are, because when you go out there knowing who you are, makes decisions that say, no, 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 no. I don't care if everybody's doing that. I know I'm not doing that. But it doesn't matter. No, I know, but I'm not. I know who I am. Knowing who you are gives you some values, some morality, some character. It gives you the ability to say yes and no to things because it comes to a discerner. Who are you is an important question to answer. And those of you that are brand new on this campus, you better know who you are. Because if you don't, a year from now, you're not going to like who you are. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. I said 60-some percent of them are going to go up there, not identifying who they are strong enough, and all of a sudden end up nowhere, lost. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Who you are, you're a new creation. You have a new nature. It's brand spanking new. Old things pass away. All things become new. Old leaves, all becomes new. How awesome is that for a person who is in Christ? They pass away. The old thoughts pass away. What people said about you or called you is passed away. You're not dumb. You're not lazy. You're not stupid. You're not a loser. You'll not ever amount to anything. You are in Christ, and he gives you a new identity, and that identity is eternal. Don't give it away to anybody. Keep it, hold it, and grow in it. We are who God says we are, and he identifies us as his forgiven, as his chosen, hand-picked. He picked you first, redeemed, accepted, loved, valued, But I did this and I did so many things. No buts about it. This is what he thinks about you. I'll be doing a series of messages about what God says about you. They'll be absolutely life transforming. Old things, the selfish and sinful things we did, the selfish and sinful ways we saw ourselves, and the way we saw others. We have to reprogram our brain to see the way God sees. They've all passed away. They've all ceased to exist. And I know when you're a brand new Christian, you go, oh, brand spanking new. It feels good. Fresh and clean. But I've been a Christian for 15, 20, 30 years. And so, yeah. No. This verse also applies to you. This verse of newness and new creation. Let me read a couple of things. In Lamentations 3, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day you're renewed. I love what Paul said earlier in this scripture in 4:16, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being, say it with me, renewed. How often? Day by day, the inward man is being renewed. Day by day, the outward man, this flesh, is getting older and older and older and more wrinkly, and teeth are falling out and ending up in dishes, and all of a sudden we're shriveling around. Help, I'm melting. We're just going down the tube physically. Hallelujah. The inward spirit, though, is getting newer and newer. Outward, we're becoming an old beater. Outward, we're becoming an old beater. Do you have that? But the inward man is new and fresh. You know what I love? Have you ever that new car smell? There's nothing like it, is there? They actually make a scent now. New car smell. New car smell. New car smell. It's going to be brand new. You see, every morning when you get up in the morning, God goes, hey, you're new, man. You're new. Oh, but I did a bunch of terrible things and all that. And he goes, I just repent because I'm going to make you brand new. Don't worry. Sorry. Where'd I buy that from? Somebody gave it to me. Every morning, you Christian who's been there for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 50. David, you've been a Christian for how long? Around 50 years or so, huh? How many? At least. He gets up in the morning. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. He puts on his happy feet in the spirit. You see, God spiritually every day, regardless of what's happened, every day, when you get up, let me see what he's going to do. What are you going to do? It's... Take some of that. It's good. Breathe it in. Smell that. It's new. It's fresh. Not just the young bucks. All of us get a brand new start every morning. You're brand spanking new. Enjoy it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You have a great identity for us. And we need to know who we are. We're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. What he did on Calvary, he set us free. Lord, I thank you that you're so awesome. You're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so powerful. And that every morning, regardless of what's happened, you get us up, even though this old man is perishing, it's falling away, becoming an old beater. The inside of who I am is fresher today than it was yesterday. It's going to be new today, new tomorrow, new a week from now, a year from now, a lifetime from now. Lord, you're amazing. You give this to us as a gift. Thank you. Who are we? We're yours, Lord. And we're not going to give away our name, Christian, to anyone. As a matter of fact, we're going to be proud of our family name. Who are you? Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, my name is Phil Vance. Who are you? Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I'm proud of it. Because there was a Lord and Savior who died on the cross for me. Father, thank you. I thank you for all these people, Lord. I pray your blessing on them. That they would understand how new they are tomorrow. That they'd wake up enjoying the freshness of being spirit-filled, alive in God. Help us, Lord, to do our dead proud as we carry on the name of who we are into a world that desperately needs to know you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, if you don't know Jesus, come on up here. There'll be some people who pray for you to receive Christ. Some of you may need to rededicate your life to Christ. Do it today. Come on up here. Say, you know, today I've been ashamed of my name. I'm coming up here. I'm going to just say, hey, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk with him the rest of my life. And I'm going to enjoy the newness that he gives us. I just want to thank you all for coming. Next week, bring a friend back. Bring somebody else back. Let's grow in this thing called Jesus and how wonderful he is for us. Next week, we're going to talk about how do you cultivate that identity? How do you grow that identity? How do you enjoy it to the fullest? We're going to talk about it. I look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, God bless you. And pray his abundant blessings to be upon you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.